Thank you, John, for great insight into the state of national politics. I always find it real interesting how different politics can be at the national, state, and local levels, because we all represent the same people, same interests, but the approach by leaders is a little bit different at every level of government. At the national and even the state level, to some degree, we see partisan politics like John just described in his remarks, and this often provides frustration to voters because they're forced to take sides, forced to be believers or non-believers in one party or the other, rather than looking deeply at the aspects of a particular issue. There's so little middle ground that we have these days. As John spoke, I thought of several images of partisanship, the stance on fiscal cliff, how to balance the budget, and the role of government, all great examples of philosophical differences between national political parties. The result has been gridlock and discord, as John described, rather than solution and collaboration. But fortunately, this type of partisanship is not the rule at the local level. We all acknowledge that our city councils don't always get along as well as we should, but partisan philosophies are generally not the place from which we start our discussions. We often hear the truism that there's no Democratic or Republican way to pick up the trash, to provide clean water, or drive a fire truck. To successfully deliver such services, we know we must embrace the idea that cooperation is better than competition and lively discussion is much better than bitter debate. It's also true in how we work with our state legislature and our congressional delegation. We make our best case when we can discuss our issues with legislators and with Congress in a cooperative spirit using local examples. And that's local examples are important, making things real. We've made good strides in the past several years of collaborating with state elected officials. We've also made good strides in recognizing that we must collaborate with the local business leaders on many of the issues before the legislature, and we need to do more. We must successfully communicate that we as municipal elected officials represent the public interest, not special interest. We must communicate that we as elected municipal elected officials represent the same people that our legislators down the street and our congressmen in Washington represent. We as municipal elected officials must communicate that the actions of state and national leaders that impact municipal government in the end impact the residents and the businesses that we all serve. Now today, you're going to hear from legislators and from state agency directors about their priority issues for our state, as well as their points of view on our association's priority issues. Your association staff will also report to you on the nuts and bolts of legislative issues today. So this is all important. It's important as an opportunity to learn about specific legislative issues, but it's also important to learn what you can do today and in days to come to educate your legislative delegation on issues that impact those that they and we both serve. Now, I know that we're disappointed that the House decided to furlough this week. Unfortunately, that decision came too late for us to change our meeting date. The hotel was booked and the speakers were confirmed. However, the Senate is in session today, and your House members will be home all week. So use the information that you learned today to have a conversation with them when you get back home. And please continue to meet with your legislative delegation after they adjourn in June. And just as we must continue to learn about the legislative issues that impact our hometowns, we must also continue to educate our state elected officials. This is true not just over the course of a legislative session, but over time as new state leaders emerge election after election. To illustrate this point, consider two legislative actions of utmost importance to the cities and towns: the passage of the Home Rule Act and the creation of the Local Government Fund. The Home Rule Act was passed in South Carolina in 1975. Gerald Ford was the president. The General Assembly was dominated by a small number of powerful, longtime legislators. While this act set a new stage for local government, defining authority and responsibility, no sitting members of the General Assembly were serving at the time, and only about 30% of the current members were even of voting age. Another example is the Local Government Fund that was established in 1992. Back then, legislators, with the support of local government leaders, established a fair formula to take the complexities out of collecting and distributing distributing, that's a hard word to spit out right there when you're reading, 11 locally collected taxes. Bill Clinton was the president, and only 8 sitting members of the General Assembly were serving then. Again, this legislation was important to local governments, but its significance and impact will be lost in history if we don't do our job to educate leaders of the House and the Senate who are not serving at the time of passage. In addition to educating new state leaders, education and collaboration must be key priorities as situations change. The fiscal crisis that we all hope that we are emerging from is just that type of situation. The local government fund was reduced during this time of fiscal crisis, and the House committee is now studying the fund through the lens of the fiscal crisis. You will hear the legislative staff talk more about this later this morning, but we must be engaged as this committee continues its work. So as we listen to today's speakers, talk to our delegation members, learn about issues, and network with the other municipal officials, we need to keep in mind it may be a long time before all this partisan bickering stops or we work our way back to the pre-2007 fiscal conditions. But our city residents expect us all to deliver quality services for our current residents while creating an environment to attract private investment to our cities and our state. I thank you all for your attendance today and for your commitment to use every opportunity available to educate all the leaders on the value of our cities and the towns for the future of South Carolina.